This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. I've got two more crime stories for you this week, beginning with Mr. and Mrs. North. You'll hear their episode from March 2nd, 1954, titled Cross My Heart. After that, it's Boston Blackie and the Bus to Valley Junction. His story from April 1st, 1947.
David, that's him, Lieutenant. That's David.
What the? Watch it, Bill. His gun.
Look out, Bill!
Mr. and Mrs. North, starring Barbara Britton and Richard Denning. Listen as Pam and Jerry solve the mystery, Cross My Heart.
The word goodbye is a melancholy word, but there are times when goodbyes are said under happy circumstances. In this particular case, the happy and the sad are blended in one big...
Oh, goodbye. Goodbye, Mrs. North.
Goodbye, Frida. Lots of luck to you.
Oh, she's had her luck already, Pam. Now, Frida, just see that you use it well.
Oh, I will try, Mr. North. I am so excited. I will miss you both so much.
Oh, we'll miss you, too, terribly.
We sure will. Oh, think of it, Frida. Instead of keeping house for us, you'll be having someone keep house for you.
Oh, no. No, Mr. North, I couldn't.
Well, after all, when you inherit $50,000, you've got to find some way to spend it.
Now, Jerry, you let Frida handle it her own way.
Never, never have I dreamed I would have so much money. Even now, I cannot believe it.
Have you made any plans at all, Frida?
Oh, no, no. Who can make plans? Everything, it has been so hectic, so confused. Maybe I will go back to Sweden again. Maybe not.
There's your taxi, Frida.
Or maybe... maybe I will stay right here and find myself a husband.
Well, that shouldn't be any trouble for you, young lady.
Oh, at my age, with my looks. Oh, it has been trouble for years. Oh, my taxi cab.
She'll be right there.
Now, Frida, take good care of yourself. And don't go around buying yourself a husband. They don't come cheap.
I know it. I know. But I tell you something. A woman my age who is lonely for so long, and suddenly she is rich. She's willing to... Oh, I talk too much. My taxi will be angry. Goodbye, Mrs. North. Mr. North, thank you for being so good.
Goodbye, Frida. Keep in touch with us.
Goodbye, I will. Keep in touch.
And we want an invitation to your wedding.
All right, I promise. Goodbye.
Miss Jorgens?
Yes?
Come in, please. Down, won't you?
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Permit me to introduce myself. I'm Flora Lamar. I run the Heart to Heart Agency.
How do you do?
In fact, you might say I am the Heart to Heart Agency. Now, I take it you're a single woman?
Yes, I am.
Well, we'll do our best to take care of that for you.
Yes.
Since you and I are about to enter a rather personal venture, you won't mind if I ask some personal questions?
Oh, no. And that is all right.
Fine. Your full name, please.
Frida Jorgens. J-O-R-G-E-N-S.
And your age?
51.
Well, let's just say 43 on the application, shall we? Well, now about the type of man you prefer. Since you're a working woman, I imagine a gentleman of means would be...
Oh, no. No. Money does not matter to me. I no longer need to work.
Oh?
I just inherited some money from my family in Sweden.
Is that a fact? Well, honey, I'm just delighted for you.
I do not care what the man looks like. I just... want one who will love me.
Of course, dear. Now, tell me this, and be frank now. What factors about yourself do you consider attractive to men?
Well, I cannot say. Maybe the $50,000 I have inherited.
Miss Jorgens, please. Please understand. The Heart to Heart Agency is dedicated to the cause of lonely people seeking love and understanding. We do not cheapen our cause with commercialism.
Oh, I am sorry.
Our initiation fee is $15, and we charge $10 for each introduction we make for you.
All right. Will a check be all right?
Naturally. Of course, we make a definite point to study the qualifications and the personality of each applicant and choose the introductions accordingly. Now, if you'll just sign this application right there and fill in your phone number, I'll call you just as soon as we find the right man for you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mrs. Lamar.
And don't you worry. We consider everything when we make our choice. We'll take good care of you.
$50,000 and you even hesitate about the right guy, Flora? Baby, you're slipping.
I know what you're thinking, Dave. But I don't want any funny stuff with this one. We've had too many close deals. That's assault, will you?
Oh, baby, that was years ago, centuries ago. Here you are. We left all our mistakes behind us when we left L.A. This is New York, Flora, the biggest business town in the world.
Okay. But funny business don't go so well here either.
Look, it's just about time we made some decent dough from that agency, huh? And there's no reason why it can't be this Jorgens dame's dough.
What do you want to do? Knock her on the head and steal it? She don't carry it around in her shoes, you know.
Ah, Flora, baby, you're underrating little David.
Okay, so you try blackmail. What do we use for pressure? She has no kids, and what family she has is in the old country, and
you're still underrating little David, baby. I'm still the same kind of a thinker I've always been, huh? I still got the same old charm left? Well, I can still charm you, can't I?
Yeah. Wipe off your chin, there's gravy on it.
Now, from what you told me, this dame will fall for a good line. She's been waiting 51 years to hear one. All right, I'll have her on cloud 7 in no time.
That's the pepper. But just don't forget, Casanova, you're still married to me.
So introduce me as your brother, especially of the house, personally endorsed by the management. What could be better, huh? I'll get her to sign over a dough to me, and then we'll make a fast exit. Europe, maybe, huh? Be nice seeing Europe on somebody else's dough.
I don't know, Dave.
Flora, baby, what do we got to lose if she doesn't go for me, if she doesn't sign her dough over to me, so she's just another client? But if she takes the bait... Then...
Yeah. Well, maybe, but I...
Oh, baby, stop worrying. I'm a thinker, a good thinker. I think things out real carefully, don't I? Now, just leave this one to me.
Okay, Dave. She's all yours.
Hello? Mrs. North, I'm so happy to hear from you. How are you? How is Mr. North?
We're fine, Frida. We miss you, though. How are you getting along?
Ah, Mrs. North, I cannot tell you how happy I am.
Well, you certainly sound happy.
Heaven, Mrs. North. Heaven has found me, or I have found it, or something like that.
Oh, sounds like you're in love.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am, Mrs. North. I am... how does he say it? I am on cloud number 7.
Well, Frida, that's wonderful. Tell me about it. What's he like?
He is... Oh, I cannot really say. For every day for 2 weeks, he comes to see me. Today we are going to Coney Island.
Well, if he still looks good to you after Coney Island, then you are in love. Frida, the reason I called... Oh, I hate to be so prosaic at a time like this, but we've been having trouble finding someone to replace you. I wonder if you know of someone you could recommend.
Oh, I see. Well, for the moment, I cannot think of anyone, Mrs. North. I will find the door. That must be David. Mrs. North, I will call you soon.
All right, Frida, go ahead. And have fun at Coney Island.
Oh, you look mighty pretty up there on that horse, ma'am. Mighty pretty.
Oh, David, you are so silly.
Oh, dear. Over so soon?
Want to go loping through the sagebrush again, ma'am?
Oh, no, Mr. Cowboy, not now.
Here, let me help you down. There we are. Ah, here's a bench. Popcorn?
Oh, no more. Thank you. What are you looking at, David?
You? Mind?
Oh, no. No, I like it very much.
Remember the question I asked you last night when we said goodnight?
Could I forget it? Ever?
Are you going to answer it? Ever?
I have been answering it every moment since you left me last night. Mrs. David Lamar. Oh, such a nice name. Such a lovely name.
Frida. Darling.
Oh, David. I will have some more popcorn now, please. Oh, David, it has been such a wonderful day. The loveliest day of my life.
Now, there's a bigger day ahead of us, the best of all. When'll it be, darling?
Soon, quickly, very soon.
Look, tomorrow we'll get our license, huh? In 3 days we can be married, and then off we'll go to Europe. Sweden, maybe.
Oh, huh? Wonderful.
And maybe around the world. Or even to Cloud 8.
Oh, 7 is best. 3 days will be... Friday?
Look, I'll tell you what. Let's use the 3 days to get all ready for the trip. Do our packing, make our reservations, get our traveler's check.
Oh, so much to do. How could I do so many details? My mind is still on the merry-go-round.
I'm the detail man from way back. I'll handle everything. Look, tomorrow I'll make an appointment with the Justice of the Peace. I'll get the reservations for the ship.
Oh, imagine. Frida Jorgens comes back to Sweden with a husband.
Ah, Frida Lamar, if you please. Now, look, tomorrow, go down to the bank and change your account to a joint checking account, huh?
What is that for?
Well, for us. I'll have to pay for the reservations, you know, get the traveler's checks. We'll pool our money in one account so that we'll both be able to sign the checks.
Oh, all right.
Now, put it in the name of Mr. or Mrs. David Lamar. Mr. or Mrs. Okay? Then we'll be able to go right from the ceremony to the boat and off to Cloud 7.
Mr. and Mrs. David Lamar. Oh, nice.
Not and, Frida. Or Mr. or Mrs. David Lamar. It's more convenient that way.
Right, Frida, wonderful. We'll see you Friday. Bye. Jerry!
In here, Pam. Say, how's this tie go with his shirt, huh?
Blue and green? Oh, listen, we've just been invited to a wedding.
A wedding? Oh, I hate weddings.
You'll like this one. It's Frida's.
Yeah, but they're always the same. Bad drinks, bad jokes. Everyone try... Frida's? Frida's getting married?
Uh-huh. Friday at 2:30.
Holy. Folks, what, $50,000 won't do.
She's like another woman. So excited she can't talk straight.
Oh, that's wonderful. Who's the guy?
I don't know. His name is David Lamar, from the way Frida talks. He's a cross between Clark Gable, Bernard McFadden, and Apollo. We'll meet him Friday. Oh, incidentally, we should be honored. We're the only guests being invited. Frida insisted on having us.
Well, she's kind of a sweet old gal at that.
We'll pick her up Friday and drive down to the City Hall. David will meet us there.
Well... can't he pick her up? After all, he's the groom.
But it's bad luck for the groom to see the bride before the ceremony. We don't want to change Frida's luck, do we?
Come on, Frida. The taxi's waiting.
All right, I'm coming. Now, let me see.
Got everything now, Frida. Jerry has the luggage in the cab. Anything else you need?
Well, no, I don't think so. Hold the key.
You're not coming back here, remember? You're going right to the boat.
Oh, my head. I'm dizzy. I already turned in the key to the landlord.
You're starting a new life, Frida.
Oh, yes.
Then slam the door. Slam it hard.
Mrs. North, I do that with pleasure. There.
That's it. Now, let's go.
Hey, come on, you two. Let's get there before the groom changes his mind.
Oh, welcome, welcome. Come in, all of you.
No, I'm sorry we're late, Judge. Traffic was pretty heavy.
Perfectly all right. I take it this is the lucky lady?
Hmm? Oh, no, not me. It's Miss Jorgens here.
Oh, of course. Miss Jorgens?
These are my friends, Mr. and Mrs. North. They are already married.
Of course. Well, make yourselves at home.
Isn't David here?
He phoned a moment ago, said he'd be a few minutes late. Last minute arrangements and all. You know how prospective husbands are.
I hope he won't be too much longer. I have waited so very long already. What is the time now, Mrs. North?
It's only 3:05, Frieda. Now, don't worry. Traffic is awfully heavy today.
But the boat leaves at 4:20. There won't be much time.
I'll keep the ceremony down to essentials, Miss Jorgen.
Oh, thank you, Judge.
Well, I tried calling David's house 3 times. No answer, so he must be on his way. Any place else we might call, Frieda?
Oh, he'll be here, Jerry. Now, stop worrying.
Well, maybe he stopped for a moment at the agency.
Which agency?
To say goodbye to his sister. Maybe. He will be here. David loves me. I know. He has all the tickets, all the traveler's checks, all the money.
The money? Your money, Frieda?
Our money, Mr. North. We're getting married, remember?
How come he has all the money?
For convenience. So much to do, getting ready for the honeymoon, buying traveler's checks, everything like that. So, naturally, I put the money into an account for both of us.
Your money for both of you? Before you even married the guy, Frieda?
But we're getting married, Master North. And that is why we are here, no?
Miss Jorgens, it's none of my affair, but perhaps you might call this agency just to see if Mr. Lamar has been there.
It might be a good idea, Frieda.
You're darn right it's a good idea.
No. Wait a little longer. David will be here. David loves me. I know.
Okay, that's the last suitcase. Now let's get down to the pier.
You got everything, Dave? You sure you covered everything?
Yeah, Flora, baby, look. Money, $45,000 in cold cash and traveler's checks. I left her $5,000 to get well on.
Let's see.
Don't grab. Take a ladylike look.
Hey, those traveler's checks, they're made out to Mr. and Mrs. Montague. What goes?
Baby, you're not thinking so good today. When we get on that ship, we become Mr. and Mrs. Montague.
But you made the reservations for Mr. and Mrs. David Lamar. I heard you on the phone.
Sure, but that's for Frieda's benefit, in case she decides to check up on me. But I also reserve staterooms for us, Mr. and Mrs. Montague, see?
Oh.
Maybe Frieda will start checking before the boat pulls out. She checks to see who picked up the Lamar reservation. She's told nobody has, so she's stymied, you see? It's clear thinking, baby. Now, grab that suitcase and let's go.
Suppose they get wise in a hurry. Suppose they wire the boat to have them hold us.
Hold who? How will they know we're anybody but Mr. and Mrs. Montague?
Description, maybe.
They can't hold us anyway. It's a Swedish boat. Once we sail out of that harbor, we're out of U.S. jurisdiction, you see? Little David thinks in all directions. Now, come on. What the devil do you think you're doing?
Just what it looks like. Aiming a gun at little David.
All right, what's the gag? Look, baby, it's getting late.
Stay put. You've been doing a lot of thinking. And so have I.
Well, save it for when we get to the boat, huh?
Now. You know what I've been thinking? I've been thinking that anyone who can do such a good, clean job of crossing up that Jorgens dame can do a good job of crossing me up, too.
Look, Flora, baby, you know me better than that.
I know you fine,
Look,
Dave.
Baby, we're partners. You don't think
partners.
I...
Partners. Right. So I'm protecting my investment. I'll hold the money.
Okay, sure. Just put that gun away.
No, first I get the money. All of it.
Look, Flora, baby, let's talk about it on the boat. It's getting late.
Now! Give me the money now, Dave, or I'll call the cops.
Cops? Are you out of your mind?
I mean it, Dave. I mean every word.
Don't answer it, Flora.
Why not? What are you afraid of?
Don't answer it, I say.
Dave, what are you...
Put
hello?
Down that phone!
Hello? Hello, Mrs. Lamar. What is it? What's the matter there? Hello?
Here. This is the place.
Heart-to-heart agency. What?
Is this where you met David, Frieda?
Yes.
Oh, Frieda.
Oh, please. I know. I know what you think.
Sorry, folks. This is a... Oh, hello, Jerry. Hello, Pam.
Hi.
Bill.
You got here fast, Bill.
Left as soon as you called. Afraid it wasn't fast enough.
Look.
Oh, Mrs. Lamar. Oh, no. She...
Here, Frieda. Come over here. Sit down.
Is this Frieda Jorgens?
Uh-huh. Frieda, this is Lieutenant Weigand of Homicide.
Oh, David. I cannot believe David.
Miss Jorgens, I know it's difficult for you, but I must ask these questions. Now, can you tell me just what you heard on the phone?
David, my David. He couldn't know
Miss Jorgens.
She's in bad shape, Bill. Didn't Jerry explain when he called you from the judge's office?
Oh, is that the whole story?
That's all we could get from Frieda. She was pretty shaken. She heard David's voice and this woman's, and then a struggle and the shots.
Well, obviously, this Mrs. Lamar was going with him wherever he was headed. These are her suitcases.
Of course. He must have been going on the boat with Frieda's reservation.
What boat?
Their honeymoon. He has all of Frieda's money, everything.
Probably had a battle over the dough or something right here. You know which boat?
Well, Frieda does. It leaves from Pier 9. What time is it?
3:40. Why?
All right, the boat leaves at 4:10. Can we make it to the pier?
We sure can try. Come on.
Coming through.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Oh, you still with me?
Yeah, and we're all right behind you.
Oh, dear. Is that the warning whistle?
I'm sorry, sir. No more visitors allowed on board now.
Police business. I'm Lieutenant Weigand, Homicide.
Oh? Is anything
wrong? We're looking for a David Lamar.
Well, I'm sorry, Lieutenant. The boat's due to sail in a few minutes.
He's wanted for murder.
Murder?
We left orders to hold the ship here if necessary. He had reservations on this boat.
Well, I'll see if they were picked up.
They weren't. We checked at the traffic office.
Then surely he
we
must...
want to check some of the other staterooms.
Now, really, Lieutenant, the ship is...
You want to head out to sea with a killer on board? Now, come on. Let's do some checking. Police orders.
Just about covers all the first-class staterooms, Lieutenant.
Well, there's a couple more over there, aren't there?
Just two. None for the name Lamar, though.
Well, what are the names?
Let's see. One's for Benson, the other's for Montague.
Those names ever used by David, Frieda?
Well, I don't know. How can I tell anything anymore?
Well, this one has been claimed already.
No one there?
It's funny. Passengers usually go straight to their staterooms.
Open the door. Use your passkey.
Oh, all right.
What is...
I'm sorry, Mr. Montague. I didn't know you were in here.
All right, Stuart. Now that you know, you can beat it.
David! David! That's him! That's David!
Watch it, Bill! His gun!
Oh, David! David!
Sorry to put a hole in your gun hand, mister, but you won't be using it again. Now, come on.
Oh, David. David, I am sorry for this, David.
All right, Frieda, come on. Let's go.
David, won't you even look at me?
Will you keep this dame off of me, copper? I got enough troubles with you.
I thought he loved me. I really thought he really loved me.
Always sure that's going as you are.
Oh, Jerry, you darling.
Who, me?
You're sweet and considerate and good and kind, and I love you. There.
Oh, well, thank you, ma'am. I've been telling you that for years. What did you do? Buy a new hat?
Don't be silly. I'm just thanking you for doing the dishes and cleaning up in the kitchen while I was out.
Oh, that. Well, after all, Hey, Pam.
Yes, darling?
I didn't clean up in the kitchen. I just came in a few minutes before you did.
Oh, cut it out, Jerry. The dishes are all... You didn't?
No.
Well, then who did?
I did, Mrs. North.
Frieda!
Well,
what
Frieda, how did you...
I just came down from Cloud 7. I like it down here best of all. Do you mind if I come back to work?
Mind? We'll love it.
Well, welcome home, Frieda. Come on, let's have a party.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Howdy, Sahib.
Morning, Harry. How's that bus of yours? Still all in one piece, huh?
Well, far as you can tell in one look, it's all in one piece. But I wouldn't want to have to pay a dollar for every nut and bolt it's dropped from Valley Junction to the main highway.
Well, you ought to get the company to buy you a new bus, Harry. The drivers in the city get new buses.
Folks on my route wouldn't know me if I was to turn up with a new bus. How's business, Si?
Oh, good. Always good this time of year. Have a store full of people nearly every day from sunup to sunset. Sort of glad it's a little slow now.
Yeah. You was out taking a little ride near my place yesterday, wasn't you, Si?
I come to think of it, I was.
Yeah. You don't recollect who you saw out in the orchard with me, do you?
No, don't think I do.
Well, now, that's being mighty smart of you, Si.
Don't exactly get what you mean, Harry.
I mean exactly what I said. You're being mighty smart, not recollecting who you saw out at my place yesterday.
I don't remember seeing anyone.
Yeah, well, now, that's just the thing to remember if anybody asked you. Because if you remember you did see somebody, and if you know who he was, why, there's no telling what'll happen to you. You know what I mean? So long, sir.
The telephone. That's what I'll do.
Operator, this is Cy Gardner at the general store in Valley Junction. Get me the city, will you? I want to talk to a fella named Boston Blackie.
And now meet Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
How many more miles to Cy Gardner's store, driver?
Well, I tell you, Blackie, my run from the main highway through Cross Creek and Indian Hollow and Valley Junction, that's where Cy's store is, it's 18 miles and 3/4.
Yeah?
That's for bus. But as the crow flies, it's only 6.
Only 6, huh?
Yeah.
Well, next time I think I'll come by crow.
But bus or crow, Blackie, what's taking you to Valley Junction? Ain't there enough excitement for you in the city, or is it too much?
Well, I had a phone call from Cy Gardner yesterday afternoon. Said he was in some kind of trouble. I would have used my car to come out here, but it's in the garage.
Well, it's just well you didn't use it, Blackie. After this bumpy road, like's not to be in the junkyard where this bus of mine ought to be. Cy Gardner in trouble, eh?
Well, he sounded as if he were.
Sure, he's mighty peculiar. Why, I've known Cy Gardner for, 18 years come green-up. He ain't never been in any trouble I heard of. But then, of course, Cy's the sort of fella that keeps his trouble to himself, Blackie.
Pardon me, sir.
You speaking to me?
Yes. Did I hear the driver refer to you as Blackie?
Uh-huh.
That's Boston Blackie, of course.
Yes.
Well, allow me to introduce myself. I'm John Jeffrey Wells, president of the Farmers Finance Corporation. Traveling on business, of course.
How do you do?
I didn't expect to meet anyone so famous on the bus to Valley Junction. But, of course, when you travel, you never know whom you're going to meet.
No, you never know whom or what you're going to meet, either.
That's one of the interesting things about travel. One of the reasons I like to travel, of course.
Coming into Cross Creek. Anybody that wants out at Cross Creek gets off here.
Well, looks as if we're picking up another passenger, and a pretty one, too.
Another of the interesting things about travel, Blackie.
Of course.
Is this the bus to Valley Junction?
Yeah, sure is. As long as it's going in this direction, it's going to Valley Junction.
Okay. How much?
Oh, you pay when you get off. Next stop, Indian Holler.
Okay, if I plant myself next to you, mister?
Sure, go ahead and plant yourself. Just don't grow on me.
Well, I can tell you aren't from the stick.
A handkerchief in the breast pocket means a lot, doesn't it? Well, my bandanas are the cleanest.
Yes, you have an answer for everything, don't you? Well, don't try to give me an answer for this, because it isn't a question. You're getting off the bus right around this bend in the road, Boston Blackie.
Really? Who says so?
Take a look at the two of us, me and this gun. Both of us mean business. Come on, Blackie, we're getting off this bus now. Hey, driver!
Yeah?
Stop the bus, we're getting off.
Hey, now, wait a minute, I don't...
Blackie, don't be stubborn. I'm reasonable, but my gun is restless. Well, what have you got to say?
Driver, stop the bus.
Okay. You two want to get out in the middle of nowhere. It sure ain't none of my affair. Passengers get on and off where they want. Says so in my franchise.
So long, Mr. Wells.
Look here, Blackie. If there's something I can do, I'll be glad to help you, of course.
No thanks, Mr. Wells. This is just an example of what we were saying about travel. You never know what's going to happen next. What do we owe you, driver?
Why, $1.20 for you, nothing for the girl, I guess.
Okay. There you are. If you see Cy Gardner in Valley Junction, tell him that I'll be there, all right, but a little late.
Yeah, I'll tell him.
Well, now what?
Now, thanks, Blackie. Thanks so much for getting off the bus.
Don't thank me. Thank your gun.
I'm sorry I had to do that, but I just had to make sure you got off with me. Oh, I'll put the gun away. How's that?
It's better, but still not so good. What do you want?
Come on, let's walk up and get my car. It's parked near here, and I'll tell you on the way. My name's Marjorie Cleland.
Nice name, but it means nothing to me.
Look, Blackie, I want you to listen how I got myself in a jam.
I'm listening.
Well, now, you've got to help me, Blackie. The reason I got on that bus is because I knew you were on it.
How'd you know that?
I was in Cy Gardner's store when he phoned you. Told you what bus to take and when to take it.
So that's the background for us on a bus, huh?
Yes.
All right, let's have you... Okay, listen, sirens.
Yeah. Look, police cars, and are they rolling?
And we better start hopping. They're not slowing down for anything. We better jump for the bushes. Well, that's nothing to what those police cars would have done to them and you. They didn't even see us.
My best nylons, too.
And my best friend is the reason you ruined them.
What?
Inspector Faraday of the Metropolitan Police was in the first squad car.
Those were city police?
Yes, men from the Homicide Bureau. Wonder if they're going to Valley Junction or just late for a picnic. Well, I'll find out pretty soon. Let's have your story now, Marjorie.
I don't think I'll bother you with it, Blackie.
Why not?
Oh, I don't know. Just changed my mind. Okay, get moving, Blackie.
Oh, no, not a gun again.
You wouldn't want me to prove it was a gun.
I'll take your word for it. What happens now?
Now I'm getting in the car. But you're going to start walking.
Not me. I'm allergic to footsteps.
I think you'd be more allergic to lead. Start walking, Blackie.
Just been around the village, Inspector Faraday.
Yeah?
No one in Valley Junction heard the shot that killed Gardner.
Thanks, Coogan. No one heard the shot, huh? Well, that could be. The sheriff figures Gardner was killed about 4 hours ago, so I guess everybody in town was taking a noontime nap, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Have we found anything in the store to hint why Gardner was killed?
It's a simple case of murder in the act of robbery, Coogan. Gardner's safe had been opened, and his cash register's empty. Mm. I guess we'll just...
Hello, Faraday.
Blackie, you.
Yes, Faraday, me. Or what's left of me after walking practically all the way from Cross Creek to Valley Junction.
Walking? You look as if you've been crawling.
Oh.
Through a dust bowl, too.
Never mind about me. What are you here for? You decided to go back to the farm where you belong?
I'm here on business for the sheriff.
What's the matter? Doesn't the sheriff want to be reelected?
There's been a murder here, and the sheriff asked me to handle it for him because this county's never had a killing before.
Don't tell me, Faraday. I know who the victim is. Cy Gardner.
That's right, but how did you know?
Because Gardner called me up yesterday and he told me he was in trouble. When was he killed?
About 4 hours ago.
Huh. Doesn't make sense.
What doesn't make sense?
I was on the Valley Junction bus until a girl named Marjorie Cleland invited me to get off. I had the idea that she got me off that bus as a stall, but that was only 2 hours ago.
Look, I talked to everybody on that bus when it got here. And if you'd pay less attention to pretty girls and more attention to what you start out to do...
Skip the lecture, Faraday. I still think that girl is connected with Gardner's murder in some way or other.
Gardner was killed by someone who robbed him. It's that simple. Now, come on, I'll drive you back to town. Coogan.
Yes, Inspector?
Lock this place up good and tight so nothing is touched before I send a special investigator out here.
Right, Inspector.
Come on, Blackie, I'll drive you back to town.
Yeah, no thanks, Faraday. I think I'll stick around. I'm going to find that Marjorie Cleland again.
Look, will you quit wasting my time? Come on.
Tell you what you can do, Faraday.
What?
I saw a rooms for rent sign about 5 miles down the road. You can drive me that far.
Why do you want to stay? Do you like it here?
No, but I would like to find out who didn't like Cy Gardner.
Oh, driver.
Oh, hi, Mr. Wells.
When do we make our next stop?
Well, let's see. We left Valley Junction an hour ago. Next stop's Northville. Be there in about a minute or so.
Thanks. By the way, I noticed the police questioning you back at Valley Junction.
Yeah, they sure did. Poor Cy Gardner. They questioned you, too, didn't they, Mr. Wells?
Yeah, they questioned everybody on this bus. Though why they questioned us, I don't know. We were going toward Valley Junction, not away from it, as the murderer would be doing.
Yeah, I guess that's so. Poor Cy Gardner.
Nice fella?
Oh, the best. Well, I'm glad the police didn't hold us up too long.
Yeah.
Like to keep this bus on schedule.
Yeah, of course. Who did it, Harry?
Who killed Gardner?
I don't know, Biggie, but I didn't, if that's what you're thinking.
Are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure. In fact, I was thinking you did it. Well, all out for Northville. Passengers for Northville, all out.
There's the rooms for rent sign. Stop here, Faraday.
All right, Coogan. We'll let Blackie off here.
Right, Inspector.
Thanks for the lift, Faraday. I'll solve a murder for you sometime.
We'll wait for you, Blackie. There might not be a room. Then you'll have to walk all the way to the main highway.
Don't bother. I understand it's fun sleeping in a hayloft anyway.
It must be. The mice never complain.
Yeah?
You have rooms for rent, don't you?
I'm particularly who I rent to. Who are you?
Boston Blackie.
Well, I have rooms for rent, but not to you.
Well.
What's the matter, Blackie? Did she like your references?
Go ahead and laugh, Faraday.
How could I help laughing when she slammed that door in your face? Come on, get in. I'll drive you to town.
No, I'm staying, Faraday. Only this time by request.
By request? What are you talking about?
The three words on this little slip of paper right here that the woman just gave me. Maybe she slammed the door in my face, but look what she wrote on this piece of paper.
Huh? Let me see.
Now, I'm sure you can read it, Faraday. It's just three simple words. It says, don't go away.
And now, back to Boston Blackie. Blackie receives a phone call from Cy Gardner, storekeeper in the rural town of Valley Junction. But en route there by bus, he is met by Marjorie Cleland, who promises him a ride in her car, but changes her mind, pulls out a gun, and forces him to walk. Blackie arrives in Valley Junction to learn that Gardner has been murdered. He feels the girl had something to do with the killing, tries to rent a room in a farmhouse, and is refused. But the woman owner passes him a note telling him to stay. As we return to our story, Marjorie Cleland is in the farmhouse talking to the owner.
You were a smart cookie, Mrs. Davis, sending Blackie away just like I told you. Somebody helped you up pretty good, didn't they?
It was that gun you were holding that made me say what I did to Blackie.
That's what I meant. You were smart. Hey, this isn't a bad joint you got here. This is the kitchen, isn't it?
Yeah. Is the kitchen so difficult to recognize?
Well, gals like me don't ever have to know what a kitchen looks like. Where's your telephone?
We don't have any.
What?
Nearest one is down at Cy Gardner's store at Valley Junction.
But the police have that store padlocked since Cy got knocked off. Now what do I do?
I'm sure that's no concern of mine, young lady, but I have my chores to do, and I'm going to do them.
Oh? This I gotta see. Hey, what was that?
What was what?
Noise at the back door. It sounded like somebody fooling with the lock.
I didn't hear a thing.
Huh. Must be getting nerved. Well, go on, Mrs. Davis. Go ahead with those chores. You were...
Hello.
Nobody at the door, huh? It's you, Blackie. This gun...
Come get her, Blackie. I've got her arm.
Thank you very much. I'll take that gun, young lady. I've got it. There we are. Thank you.
How did you know to come back here after the dame sent you away, Blackie?
She held a gun in back of me, Blackie. That's why I had to tell you to go away when you knocked at the door.
I figured that from the note. Well, Marjorie, what goes on? What's the score?
You're supposed to be smart. Figure it out.
Okay. Let me see. You got me off the bus so that you could keep me from getting to Gardner's store. Then, while I was talking to you, the police cars came by, heading in the direction of Valley Junction. How am I doing?
Your mouth is moving and words are coming out, but they don't mean a thing.
I think they do. Yeah, I'm beginning to like this now.
Mm.
When the police cars came by, you knew they'd get to Valley Junction in a hurry, so there was no reason to keep me away. You didn't want anybody there, did you?
Why don't you turn around? I don't want to yawn in your face.
Oh, I'd like to fetch her a slap where it would do the most good, Blackie.
Not now, please. I want to get on with this. I think you wanted the bus to reach Valley Junction before anybody got there. And the reason could be that you and whoever murdered Cy Gardner are working together.
What do you mean, Blackie?
Yeah, this is making sense. The murderer dropped something at the scene of the crime, realized it later when he was away, and then had to get back to Valley Junction before the murder was discovered, and had to make sure nobody got there first. But Faraday didn't find whatever he left. So I'm going back there right now. You.
Hmm?
Where are the keys to your car?
Here they are. Catch.
Thanks. You're being very cooperative.
Hmm?
It's being smart.
Try driving the car and see what happens, Blackie. There isn't a spark plug in the engine. I took them all out and hid them. Thought maybe you'd try something fancy.
Cute kid.
Why don't you try forcing me to tell you where I hid them?
The idea sounds like fun, but I've got work to do, right?
Davis.
Mrs. Davis, where's your telephone?
Oh, I don't have any, Blackie. The nearest one is at the Gardner store.
Oh, fine. How do I get there?
Oh, that bus you were on comes back this way in about an hour.
That isn't too bad. I'll wait. I tried walking there once, and I didn't like it.
But the bus driver will be going in the opposite direction, Blackie.
That's what he thinks. And if the driver doesn't want to turn around, we'll find out how he likes walking.
Hey there! You in the bus! Stop, will you? Stop!
Yeah? What is it, Blackie?
Turn the bus around. We're going where you just came from.
Oh, sorry. Can't do it, young fella. This bus runs on a schedule.
Subject to change without notice. I'm getting in. Yeah. Close the door and swing the bus the other way.
I guess maybe you're looking for trouble, Blackie. Well, I'm glad to convenience you that way. I'm going to knock you halfway.
Are you kidding? More people are getting hurt in cars these days. Oh, well, I guess I can drive this thing to Valley Junction. Only I shouldn't have hit this guy so hard. Now I've got nobody to talk to. Yes? Yes, did you get the call through to the city?
Yes, sir. We're ready now with Inspector Faraday at police headquarters.
Well, you're ready and I'm ready, so what are we waiting for?
Just a minute. Go ahead, Inspector Faraday.
Hello?
Hey, Faraday, this is Blackie. I'm up here at Gardner's store in Valley Junction.
Good. Stay there.
Now, don't get cute. I've been trying to reach you for an hour. Where have you been?
I've been feeding the pigeons in the park, but I saw a couple of squirrels and they asked for you.
It's a good thing they didn't get too close to you or... you'd never have come back.
Very
Faraday, funny. Listen to me, will you? I've found something here at Gardner's store.
You found a padlock on the door and the window's boarded up. How did you get in and why did you?
Because I thought there was some kind of a tie-up between this place and the bus trip I took. I was looking for something here in the store and I found it.
What was it?
Part of a cufflink. It's right here on the counter right beside the telephone. And, guess what else there is here?
Why should I guess?
You ought to know. 3 bags of what you're going to. Seed.
What you're going to?
But, skip that. Faraday, I want you to do something. Look in your files and see if you can find someone who looks like that John Jeffrey Wells character. That cufflink belongs to him. Now hurry.
Hurry, he says. If I listened to you, Blackie, I'd be hurrying the rest of my life.
Good. Then it wouldn't last so long.
Oh, I don't know why I do these things. Maybe, Blackie, one of these days I'm going to stop doing what you ask.
Hang it up, or I'll give it to you right here.
Hello, Wells.
Doing exactly what you
want me to hang up the phone, huh?
Are you listening to me?
Did you have a nice chat with Inspector Faraday?
Oh, as nice as usual.
I didn't mean to eavesdrop, Blackie, but I was standing in the doorway and I overheard everything you said, of course.
Does everybody in this neighborhood carry a gun? What's the matter, Wells? Don't you want me to know what Inspector Faraday is going to find out about you?
I can tell you everything Faraday can tell you.
But will you?
Why not? Don't move, Blackie. Well, I'll tell you what Faraday's going to find out. But it's not going to do you any good.
Uh-huh. Just knowing you killed God, you know, won't make me happy. I'm such a curious fellow, I always want to know why.
I'll tell you why. Because he recognized me.
Any crime in that?
I went to prison for a crime once. I didn't like the place, so I left it without benefit of parole 15 years ago.
Well, you've been in hiding a long time, haven't you?
I've been hiding as an important and legitimate businessman for 15 years. But when I came to visit my brother the other day, Cy Gardner saw me and recognized me. I had to kill him to keep him from talking. And I robbed the store as a cover-up.
You came here to visit your brother?
Yeah, me, Blackie.
Oh. So, Mr. Wells, you and the bus driver are brothers. Don't tell me Marjorie is your sister.
No, Marjorie's a girl from the city I hired for the occasion.
What occasion?
The occasion of your arrival in Valley Junction.
You knew I was coming?
Oh, yes. And on what bus, too? See, I was listening at the window when Harry here talked to Cy about recognizing me.
Oh, I see. Or do I? You didn't try to keep me away before the murder. It was after the murder. Was that because you knew you'd drop this cuffling?
Uh-huh. And I wanted to get here before you did.
I get it now. When Marjorie saw the police cars go by, she realized there was no use in stalling me. Too bad the police locked up the store after they left, or you could still have picked up the evidence I found.
Well, instead I'm picking you up. Bus all ready, Harry?
Yeah, it's ready, Biggie.
Oh, Biggie, is it?
Yes.
Or do I still call you Mr. Wells?
You won't call me anything in a little while. Harry, we're taking a special passenger for a special trip to the main highway.
Yeah, a special delivery.
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot to both of you. Nice of you to give me a lift.
I hope you like it, Blackie, because it's the last thing you're going to get from anybody. Harry, can't we make better time? It's 2 hours since we left Valley Junction.
You want me to skid off the road and pile up in a ditch, Biggie? The rain's made this road slippery as weak molasses.
Take your time, Harry. I'm in no hurry.
No, I guess you ain't, Blackie. But I got news for you. Another mile and we're at the highway.
One more mile. Your last one, Blackie.
Of course. But why are you bothering to take me all the way out to the highway to kill me, Wells? I could have died just as dead in Valley Junction. And it's so peaceful in the country.
Too close to home back there, Blackie. We're going to knock you out, put you on... Sirens, Harry. I hear sirens.
Yeah, so do I.
If you hadn't been so busy talking, you would have heard them before. Look at what's coming around the turn up there ahead, a police car.
They won't want us. They've had no reason. Just slow down and they'll go by.
That's what I was going to do, Biggie.
Really? Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm yanking the bus into this ditch.
Hey, hey, let's go. Take your head off that wheel.
That bus was pulled into the ditch on purpose, sir. Look out. Biggie might be in there with a gun.
He's in here with a gun and a bump on his head, Faraday. Relax.
Blackie, you all right?
Yes, as long as you don't take my driver's license away from me for this. I dumped this crate into the ditch.
Nice going. But look, it's a lucky thing for you. There was something wrong with that phone in Gardner's store.
There wasn't anything wrong with it.
There wasn't. So how could I hear everything you and Biggie said after he made you hang up?
How? You remember those bags of seed I told you were on the counter next to the telephone?
Yeah, so what?
So instead of hanging up the receiver, I just leaned it against one of the bags so you could hear what was going on. Biggie thought I hung it up when he told me to.
Well, I'll be... Well, I checked our files and found Wells was Biggie. Now we've got him and his brother, but where's the girl?
Probably still at Mrs. Davis's rooming house. Oh, she'll be a cinch to pick up. Look, Faraday, you better open the door and get inside this bus.
Get inside? What for?
You don't know what for?
No.
You're soaking wet. Well, at last you've proved it, Faraday.
Proved what?
You don't even know enough to come in out of the rain.
That's going to do it for Case Closed this week. Hope you enjoyed the shows. Find more from Mr. and Mrs. North, Boston Blackie, past episodes of this podcast, and all the others at relicradio.com. And also listen to our Shoutcast stream there and hit our donate button if you enjoy this and all the shows, would like to help support it all. Give it a click. Thanks to all those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.